know God is good. Amen. And he's good in every way. And he's really good when I really understand prayer. And when I understand that that's really all we got is prayer. Now, you won't understand that until you get in that position where it seems like you're 30,000 feet in the air with no parachute. You know, if you've ever been in a predicament like that there, you'll find the only thing you got is prayer. And the title of this message tonight is When Parents Prayer. Now, quick, don't get yourself up in a hot anything, because I did not finish it this morning. So you will get a little something new, but I'm going to give them an overview and then bring them on up to my last 2 points. You won't understand that, COS, because I talk too much on Sunday morning, but they understand. That's why they're not getting their leftover. I promise you that. Amen. So let me try to find my glasses. Amen. So I can see your smiling faces and be blessed also. Matthew chapter 7, starting at verse 7 through 11. You don't have to stand if you don't want to. Well, I'm thinking that court will leave. You know, they know the routine. You know, they know how we reverence God. Amen? Okay. Acts, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who acts, receive, and he who seeks, find. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? Ain't God good?
Amen.
All the time. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give a good gift to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would like you would have them to do to you, for this sum of the law and the prophet. Let's have a word of prayer. Father God, we ask your blessing upon your holy word. We ask that you may give us wisdom, that we may have understanding, so that we can apply it to our life. In Jesus' name I pray, and the saints said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Let me try to bring you up to speed just a little bit when parents pray. What I said to them this morning, that Jesus gave us three beautiful words to that I would like to say unlock the treasure chest of heaven. Ask, seek, and knock. And he gives to us in verse 7 in a promise. He said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks will receive. He who seeks find. And to him who knock, the door will be open. That's a wonderful, beautiful promise that Jesus Christ himself said. Made a promise that if we ask and seek and knock, if we are persistent in our prayers, if we saturate ourselves and our family and our community and our church in prayer, he promised to do somebody. And I said to them this morning, one of the greatest tragedies in the church today, in the family today, and even as an individual, it's not that our prayers not being answered, but the tragedy is that unoffered prayers, in other words, not praying. And so I said the first word that God gives us is acts. And I said to them this morning, when I really meditated upon that word, when I really thought about that word, and I said to myself, if I ask, if I'm asking for information, if I ask, you know what I'm saying, ask someone something, it's really an expression of my heart. And so I'm expressing my heart for a desire to have information. And so it's almost if Jesus saying, that word asks me to express the heartfelt desire of your heart. And I look closely at James bringing that out. When James talks about in James 4:2, when he talks about why we don't have what we have, why we fight and we quarrel, why we battle from within, talking about our desire on the inner self. Our desires. We have a lot of desire. We have a lot of things on our hearts. Like we have our children on our hearts. We have our parents on our hearts. Our churches on our hearts. Our job on our hearts. And you know that when God created everything, even though we say we try to distinguish ourselves from the world, but we can't do that really, can we? Not as God's solid, not as God is the creator of all things. That means that we should bring God to bear on every decision or everything that we talk about. Even our recollection time, playtime. Even our strolling down the park and looking at the beautiful flowers because God created that. Even on our jobs. To ask the Lord for a better paycheck, a better environment to work in. Because those desires is on our hearts. And so James says, what's wrong with us is that we have unoffered prayers. The reason we don't get the desires of our heart is because we don't ask God. And even though God may say no, even though God may just give it to us immediately, even he may say just wait, we still need to offer it up to God. Yeah. If you have a desire for it. I mean, I get the Cadillac, but our children ask for it, amen?
Amen.
Which I wouldn't ask for a Cadillac, no way. I like Chevrolets. But my point is there's no substitute for prayer. And I told them, I said that if I was to lose my eye, I can get another eye, a glass eye. If I used to lose my limbs, I can find another substitute for a hand. But you cannot find a substitute for prayer. Because prayer is one of the greatest gifts that God has given his peoples, where that he can talk with his peoples. And that where he can have intimacy that allows us to come into the very presence of the living God. And we can fellowship with him. And Jesus told us to call him Abba Father, which connotes intimacy. But not only do prayer bring me into a right relationship with God, but you know, it affirms me as sonship, affirms you as daughtership, because the Bible says that we are joint heirs with God. The Bible says when Jesus Christ saved us, he lifted us up and placed us in the seat with Jesus. We are joint heirs. So spending time in prayer confirms, and God lays the right hand of fellowship, confirms my relationship, who I am in Christ Jesus. So prayer, bring me into fellowship with God. So prayer affirms my sonship. But you know, if prayer do something else too. And I thought that because the Bible called us fellow workers of God. So if prayer is so vital and so important, as I think about this here, prayer allowed me to join God in what he's doing. and from a fellow worker. Because when I pray on behalf of this congregation, I am joining God in what he's doing. I am working with God. I am moving in the covenant with God. So, I have fellowship with God through prayer. I am affirmed of my identity and who I am in Jesus Christ through prayer. And I join God in his work as I offer a prayer and intercede on behalf of the saints. But you know, prayer also is a great confession. Prayer says to God, Lord, I totally depend upon you. Apart from you, I can do nothing. Not only to do that. Prayer is so important because prayer helped me grow. I don't know about you, but I'm like Isaiah. If I spend time with the Lord long enough, God starts showing me stuff in my life. Start reordering things in my life and start convicting me about my own sin so I can get rid of it, so I can grow. See, but prayer also keeps the devil off you, don't it? That's right. Prayer, Paul talks about that. I pray without ceasing. And what I found very, very significant about the book of Ephesians, which I told my congregation this morning, he give you chapter 1 and he tell me who I am and how what he did and how rich I am in Christ Jesus. Tell me in chapter 2 that I'm saved by grace, not by works. And it tells me that I used to be a part of the world, but now, out of God's wonderful grace, he has brought me into his family. Chapter 3. That even though church and servant is here, even though court is here, we are one in Christ Jesus. Oh, that's good news. And then in chapter 4, he tells me how to live as a kingdom person, how to conduct myself as an individual, how to move among God's peoples. And then in chapter 5, he wants to tell me how to live as a godly man, as a godly husband, and as a godly father. And what I found significant about that is that after trying to do all this, and he's saying in chapter 6, because he gets to talking about Satan, he says, Jerome, if you're going to pull this off, if you're going to be a kingdom person, if you're going to be a man of God, if you're going to be a good father and a good husband, guess what? You want to pray. Because I want to let you know in chapter 6 that Satan is alive and he's real. Why do we need to pray? Because prayer helps us with intimacy with God. Prayer affirms my sonship. Prayer allowed me to work within the covenant with God. Prayer helped me to examine my life so I can grow. Prayer is a confession, a profession, that I totally depend on God. Prayer testifies that I believe that Satan is real and that I need God. Now, and so Jesus says, ask. And some of those things that I just named is the desire that is expressed upon my heart. And so now he says, ask. And so now he says, ask, he says, seek. And I titled that point of direction, explored. Seeking is always linked to asking. And the reason that you are seeking something, because you are lost. And in prayer, when we ask and we don't get what we need, we need to ask for God's purpose and God's will in what we are asking for. Because we may be asking for the wrong thing. So we are lost, Lord. I need guidance, Almighty God. So I'm seeking direction and your purpose and your will. I guess that's why James 4:8 says, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. In other words, when we seek God's will, when we seek his purpose, we are also seeking his presence and the power, he says, of a righteous man will prevail. We need God's power in our lives. We need to see God's power operate. Amen? So we ask, and when the prayer is not answered, we seek the Lord's presence to find his purpose so we can experience his power. When I ask, that is a desire expressed. When I ask and the answer is not there, I seek his direction to find his will. Thirdly, we knock. And we keep on knocking and never give up. And let me say, those three keys, ask, seek, and knock, is in the present tense. It means to keep on knocking, and it means to never give up. It's like Luke 18:1 talks about the widow and the unrighteous judge who was persistent, steady, going after him. He said, look here, this one's going to kill me. He was worried about himself. That's the only reason he kept out. He didn't help out because he wanted to bless her, because he liked her. He helped out because she was wearing him out. And now God is not the judge. Look, you cannot wear God. He's God the Father. He wants you to come in his presence. But we have to knock until God give us peace about what we ask for. We live in a time, I heard some stunning, and some of you, if you internet, let the internet go to Nehemiah Institution, they did a survey, they surveyed Christian kids. And I could be wrong, so I better not give you that statistic. But anyway, go check it out, but they're saying the Christian school is in trouble. They said only, said 20 years ago, 25 years, 66% believed in that Jesus was the Son of God. Now it's down to 33%. That saddened my heart when I heard those statistics. And so we need to cover our children in prayer. We need to saturate our families in prayer. Because we cannot do it alone. Let us pray. Father God, we praise you and we thank you, Almighty God. And Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus Christ that, Lord, you do not allow us to leave this place without having a conviction of prayer, Lord God. Father, we are powerless. We are hopeless, Lord God, without calling upon your name, without you being in our life. So, Lord, bless us and keep us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.